morning, Cascadia. You're listening to your community radio station, KBOO Portland, Oregon, at 90.7 FM. Today is Tuesday, February 24th, 2009, and this is Air Cascadia, real radio made by real members of the community for listeners who really care about community. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
A hotline was used by Wall Street firms to call off government inspectors.
The contractor hired to build a natural gas pipeline has been fined, again, for egregious environmental violations.
And NYU students get suspended for occupying their own school in support of Palestinians.
Portland area weather, rainy most of the day with a chance of thunderstorms along the coast, temperatures in the 50s, and then tonight more rain and temperatures in the 40s.
First regional news from around Cascadia. In Coos County, the contractor Mastech fired not long after being hired to build a natural gas pipeline from Roseburg to Coquille is in trouble again. Mastech has been ordered to pay $1.5 million in penalties to the U.S. Treasury because of damage caused to pristine streams and rivers. U.S. District Judge Michael Hogan issued the order despite finding that government agencies provided inadequate oversight of the $51 million project. And though the contractor, that's Mastech, violated the Clean Water Act, the judge said there did not appear to be serious environmental harm. Let me remind you, this pipeline that I'm having so much trouble with is 12 inches in diameter. The big Palomar pipeline carrying liquefied natural gas across our national forest is a 36-inch diameter pipe.
In southern Oregon, the 88-year-old Savage Rapids Dam is in its last month, but a few questions remain, such as what will happen to all the sediment behind the dam? When the dam is breached in early October, there could be a significant pulse of sediment. State Fish and Wildlife biologist Dan Van Dyke says October flows are generally low, and the river historically gets murky that month when the dam is taken out of operation for the season.
A water issue seems to be the star of today's program. Plans are being drawn to reclaim swaths of a floodplain for wild salmon in the Rogue River Basin. The plans would return an altered stretch of Little Butte Creek near White City to the series of side channels that disappeared 50 years ago when wildlife managers straightened the creek to ease flooding in nearby fields. Wildlife managers indeed. It'll reopen rearing habitat for juvenile salmon when it's completed in the next, 2 years.
Oregon's snowpack is below average and well below last year's. A federal government hydrologist says the snowpack is at 82% of average. Last year at this time, a series of big storms had raised it to 152% of average. The snowpack is like a reservoir. As it melts, it provides water during the summer.
And in central Oregon, state and federal scientists are investigating a mysterious drop in groundwater levels in the triangle between Redmond, Prineville, and Powell Butte. 1 mile south of Redmond, water levels underground declined nearly 20 feet in the last 15 years. You can pretty much map that straight onto the levels of an unrestrained, unplanned development in central Oregon. And the, 12 different golf courses around that area?
A day after being told a business and occupations tax bill was dead, Tri-City leaders continued efforts to get a lower tax rate applied to businesses supporting cleanup of Hanford. Tri-City leaders argued that charging those support businesses a higher B&O tax rate takes money away from cleanup because it all comes from the cleanup budget.
And truck traffic on the nation's highways has come close to killing the planet. Now, in these peak times, trucking itself has become an obsolete option, so the nation's freight burden is shifting to boats that can traverse rivers, lakes, canals, and coastal waters. Marine highways are looking good to the same interests that crashed the environment and the economy in just a few brief generations. Make way for the Cripple Creek Ferry.
In Williams, Oregon, the handlers of 22 orphaned, abandoned, injured, and hungry wolves and wolf hybrids need help. Nearly a year ago, Sherry and Charlie Labatt put the Howling Acres Wolf Sanctuary up for sale. There have been no serious offers, and only four tours have passed through in the recent months. Howling Acres needs donations of money and dog food. It's still up for sale.
Hundreds of Clackamas County residents are finding that they can no longer afford to feed their family pets and are giving up their animals to shelters. Some volunteers have found a way to keep pets with their owners. The dog food bank, yes, really, we've finally come to that, opened on Saturday next to the Clackamas County Dog Services Shelter. It also helps cats, and will be open the third Saturday of every month. But you better keep Fido and Fluffy in good shape because you may be eating them soon if the economy continues tanking.
In Washington State, a bill passed by the House would extend protections of domestic violence restraining orders to pets owned by the person who secures the order. Courts could decide custody of jointly owned pets if a domestic violence protection order is taken out. The measure would also bar the target of the restraining order from having contact with the pets.
So, you're still reeling from the canine headlines. Get this. It's a first. Political candidates in Washington would once again be banned from lying on the campaign trail under a proposed law approved yesterday by the State House. The bill seeks to reinstate an old law that was thrown out on free speech grounds by the state Supreme Court in 2007. The court said the state's former ban on lying in campaigns violated the First Amendment because it did not require proof that campaign falsehoods were defamatory.
President Obama's likely third pick for Commerce Secretary is former Washington Governor Gary Locke. Locke, a Democrat, was the nation's first Chinese-American governor when he served two terms in the Washington State House from 1997 to 2005. This comes less than 2 weeks after Republican Senator Judd Gregg of New Hampshire backed out.
And now we speak with Dave Elkins. Dave has he's no longer in Portland. He's living on the East Coast. He's a KBOO member and volunteer who has a very interesting Freedom of Information Act lawsuit that is now making its way through the Kafka-esque network of legal channels. Good morning, Dave. Can you fill us in a little bit on the background of this case?
Originally, I filed the suit because the FAA refused to comply with a request for records. And I've been doing them for several years, making the request, and generally they were denied because it was concerning what they consider high security aircraft. And they had switched several personnel who handled the FOIA officers, and this one woman just basically refused to conform with the request. So I filed suit, and because they had recently passed two acts, one with the Congress, one with the House of Representatives, one with the Senate, the Faster FOIA Act and the Open Government Act. But also, this suit concerns with the FAA using an exemption. It's called 7E, and 7E exemption is non-disclosure of records when it concerns law enforcement techniques or procedures. But you have to be a law enforcement entity by statute to use the 7E exemption. I'm challenging this in court because there was a famous case called Weissman versus CIA in which the CIA had been collecting records and on an individual in the United States, and he took them to court, and they had used the law enforcement exemption 7E, and the court turned it down because they said by statute the CIA is not a law enforcement entity within the United States. So they granted his request for records. And that's on the pretext that's what I'm doing. It's basically now going towards dispositive motions for May, so it'll either be settled or go to an appellate court by then if the judge either decides against me or decides for me. The second thing I'd like to bring up real quickly is for the listeners in Portland, if they could call the Senate Information Board, it's area code 202-224-3121, and urge either Senators Merkley, DeFazio, or Wyden, or Blumenthauer to embrace the State Secrets Act bill, which would limit the use of the State Secrets Act to get rid of lawsuits when it concerns government wrongdoing. I'm sure everybody remembers the one that the Lebanese German who was kidnapped by the CIA and then released in Albania because they realized they had got the wrong guy. And then when he tried to bring suit, they threw it out immediately because of the State Secrets Act, which goes back to a 1953 case concerning the Air Force. This bill would limit that use and would not completely eliminate people to get relief if they've been wronged by the United States government. So if you call that number and, you know, urge the Oregon senators to embrace this and vote for it and urge it to pass through, because last year, because of the meltdown, everything was just, you know, pushed aside and everything was forgotten, but they've reintroduced it. And Senator Leahy, Specter, and Kennedy are also backing this up. So I urge people to call your representative and urge them to vote for it.
Dave, thank you very much for that. And just to let listeners know once again, that phone number is 202-224-3121.
Right, that's the information board. You can just ask for the certain senator. And you can also urge other senators, it doesn't have to be from Oregon, just people who are sponsoring it and backing it to, you know, help, you know, push it along and get other senators and congressmen to, you know, support it, because this is a very strong accountability bill. That's what it's all basically about. I mean, when people just want to do away with it, that Air Force case back in the 50s, after all the years they declassified the information in, I believe it was 2004, and they found out that there was no reason for national security. They were just trying to hide poor maintenance on the airplane that had crashed and had led to the federal tort claim.
Sure, so they could use it.
It was a false.
Sorry, go ahead. I was just going to say that they've used it whenever it's convenient to achieve their end.
And I think it's high time that ends, because it's practical for government to say, look, you know, if there's something that's done been wrong, that we can write it, but you don't necessarily have to let all the information go. It's just that, not to just, you know, throttle it and just throw it out of court just because they say something, and then years later you find out that they were really lying.
Dave, thank you so much. That's all the time we have right now, but we'd like to invite you back soon in the near future. Thank you.
New York University suspended dozens of students who barricaded themselves in a dining hall. They were demanding that the school support the residents of Gaza. The demands included that the university give 13 scholarships to students from Gaza and donate surplus supplies to the Islamic University of Gaza, which was damaged by airstrikes. That seems reasonable. So the moral seems to be that it's okay for Israelis to occupy Palestine, but it's not okay for students to occupy their own university.
And this, Matt Renner writes on Truthout, in a hearing which exposed failures by the government's financial police, Congressman Stephen Lynch highlights the existence of a hotline which he said could be and probably was used by Wall Street firms to call off government inspectors. The existence of a hotline has been confirmed by the Securities and Exchange Commission, though its purpose has been disputed. And how?
Senate Judiciary Chairman Patrick Leahy has endorsed the investigation of Democrats who approved of President George Bush's policies as part of a truth commission. Leahy has floated the idea of a truth commission to probe and put to rest alleged Bush administration constitutional abuses. Those who participated would likely be granted immunity from prosecution so long as their testimony is truthful.
We really do need the Truth and Reconciliation Commission exactly the way they used them in South Africa and other places. This, too, Robert Kuttner in the Washington Post writes, with the enactment of a large economic stimulus package, fiscal conservatives are using the temporary deficit increase to attack a perennial target, Social Security and Medicare. The extreme right is going to go after Social Security and Medicare like they've never done before. Supposedly, these costs will depress economic growth and crowd out other needed outlays, such as investments in the young. Here's what the remedy being proposed: big cuts in the programs for the elderly.
A former British resident released after 7 years in detention, more than four of them at Guantanamo, arrived back in London yesterday, and he issued a statement alleging that the United States government had subjected him to years of medieval torture.
And yesterday, three U.S. soldiers and an interpreter were killed during fighting north of Baghdad. The combat took place in Diyala province, an area northeast of Baghdad that remains volatile, despite an overall drop in violence nationwide, or at least that insofar as it's actually reported.
This has been Headlines and Commentary from Air Cascadia for Tuesday, February 24th, 2009. Today's editor is Chris Andre. Engineering is Kate Welch. The KBOO AM News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Chris Andre. You're listening to member-supported KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM. Your support and your support only keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members.